Welcome to the podcast of Revival Life Church, a spirit-filled multicultural church in Boca Raton, Florida. If you'd like more information about Revival Life Church or Pastor Carl Thomas, find us on the web at revivallifechurch.org.
Hebrews chapter 6. If you don't, you know, it'll be up there eventually. I got it, babe. I love that. How about that? Next week, barbecue. Who likes some barbecue? Hey, we still need a grill, right? Tracy, we need a second grill. Hey, we need a grill. And so somebody's got a grill, and you got a truck. Or if you don't got a truck, we got a truck. You got a grill. We need a grill to get here, to cook. If you would, please go to the next steps table, honey. Next steps table after service. Let them know. I'm not going to sit on my talent. I'm bringing my grill so I can, and you will get one of the first 20 hamburgers if you bring your grill. Hamburger not included. So if you would just bring the burger, and we're going to have a good time. Father, in the mighty name of Jesus Christ, that you would bless this offering today. You would bless the gift and the giver, miracle money, miracle finances, favor on jobs, favor on businesses, Father, promotions, and that you would bless your people as they bless the house in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen, and amen, and amen, and amen. Hey, Easter, good holiday, right? I didn't use the name Easter for many years because you know, I just really believe Resurrection Day was great. But I would say, you know, we're going to celebrate Resurrection Day. And people are like, well, I can't go to your service to celebrate that. I'm celebrating Easter. And so we just started saying, we're going to, I can't miss Easter to go to your Resurrection Day ceremony. You know, I'm like, well, no, it's. He's, okay, come to Easter. You know, we're having Easter service, so. You know, sometimes you just got to go with what's happening. You know what I mean? You just got to go. We used to have service on Friday nights, and people were like, it's not church if it's not Sunday morning. And we're like, yeah, but we do it Friday nights. They're like, yeah, it's fine, but it's not church. Okay, and then the Lord's like, why don't you go to Sunday mornings? We're like, okay. And then people started coming more. It was kind of funny how that worked. All right, Ephesians chapter 2. I'm going to be there in 1 second, but I'm pretty excited about today. I'm excited because Jesus is alive today. The resurrection of Jesus Christ is not a theological statement. It's not just a belief that if you call yourself a Christian, that means you believe that, even if you don't understand it, but you just have to surrender yourself to believing that it's true. It's not what it is. It's not the resurrection of Jesus Christ, the fact that he was dead but is now alive, is not just something that we have to surrender our logic to. Christianity is not just a faith that we surrender reason to. For some reason today, faith is equal to not believing facts. Faith is where I know what the facts are, but I don't believe them, so I call it faith. No, that's called denial. If you don't believe facts, that's denial. That's not the same as faith. Faith is a spiritual gift. We know it's a spiritual fruit. We know that it moves mountains. And if you don't move mountains, then you don't have mountain-moving faith. It's pretty simple. There's a whole branch of Christianity that believes if I say I'm not sick, then I'm not sick, even if you're still sick, which doesn't, I've never really quite understood that one exactly. I believe you're sick until you're not sick anymore. And so we just kind of believe that there is a supernatural Christ who does supernatural things, that he rose from the dead, but if you don't get those things at work in your life, then you don't have those things at work in your life. It's pretty simple. And so here at Revival Life Church, we just believe that revival is not an event, it's a way of life. And we believe that the supernatural God wants to invade our natural lives and empower us to do things in our life that we couldn't do without him. One of the great criticisms of the church today is that it's just filled with hypocrites. You ever hear that? You know, I don't want to be one of the hypocrites at church. Go to church and don't be a hypocrite. But it's an accusation because so often today people don't see an active working faith in the lives of people. They see people go to church on Sunday. They somehow equate that with some sort of self-righteousness throughout the week above those who don't go to church, and then they invite you to come to their church so you can be as self-righteous as they are, and people kindly decline that offer. We don't believe that. We don't believe that Christians are better than anybody else. We just believe that we have witnessed the resurrection of Jesus Christ, and therefore we have that life at work on the inside of us. And because that life is at work on the inside of us, we can do things we couldn't do without him, like go to heaven, which is a pretty good one, I think. But if you got a Bible, are you with me? Y'all still here, right? Ask your neighbor if they're still here. Just, you want to make sure. All right. Hebrews chapter 6. Not your average, you know, Easter scripture here, but. Hebrews chapter 6, we're going to read verse 19. The writer says, "We have this as a sure and steadfast anchor of the soul, a hope that enters into the inner place behind the curtain, where Jesus has gone as a forerunner on our behalf, having become a high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek." And Father, we just trust that you will bless the reading of your word today, that you will convert hearts and you would heal bodies, and that you would usher people into your kingdom and you would expand your kingdom on earth. In Jesus' name, and everybody said, amen, amen, and amen. I believe that the whole world today is looking for hope. I believe that what one of the greatest poverties in our world today is the lack of hope. I think so many people are trapped in hopelessness and don't even know it because they don't know what hope looks like. They'll look for hope in a political figure. They'll look for hope in a sports team. They'll look for hope in music, or they'll look for hope in popular culture. But how many of you know that will eventually fail you? People even look for hope in religion. And how many of you know that will fail you? We look for hope in other people. And how many of you know that will fail you? There are so many places to place our hope today. And I feel like there's so many antidepressant drugs on the market today. You know, the greatest expansion of the drug manufacturing and the drug industry today is in psychotropic medications for anxiety and for depression and all kind of social ills that people have. Because what we're doing today is we're trying to get the fruit of what God wanted on the earth without going through God. And the only way we can do that is by numbing ourselves to the effect of not having God. And so I want to walk you on a little faith journey, if I could today, something I like to do from time to time. I like to tell the big story. So I'm going to tell the big story of how we got to this scripture, and then we're going to unpack it, and then we're all going to rejoice in Jesus. Amen? Is that good? Can we do that? It all started, this little story I'd like to tell you, in a garden. It was a cute little garden, and God decided to plant something in this garden, and he called him Adam. And Adam was this man, and the Bible tells us that God walked with him in the cool of the day, and I can't wait to get to heaven and just watch what that was like. You know, there's times that I see God with me, and there's times that I experience his presence, and it feels like he's right there in the room, and I love that, and I cherish it, and honestly, if I could be honest with you, I want to live there, and that, the Bible shows us, was God's original intention for you, to live a life on earth where you had this relationship with him, personal, real, transcending this dimension, relationship with him. And like all adolescent men, Adam got lonely, and he brought him a woman. And like many adolescent men who walk with God, they get a woman and they forget about God. That's, you know, basically what happens. And so Adam has Eve, and they mess it up really bad, right? They mess it up so bad that it altered, I believe, the DNA. We began inheriting sin from our fathers, and we're born separated from God. We're born separated from God, not in relationship with God, not walking with him in the cool of the day, not receiving the blessings because we have this cursed flesh. And God said, this is not good. I need to make a way to bring man and God back together again. So what'd God do? He says, well, I'm going to give them some laws because these people don't understand what they're doing is wrong. Nothing worse than a guy who thinks that he's doing everything perfectly and nothing is his fault. You ever known these people? And they want to tell you why everything is going wrong for them because everybody around them is not appreciating who they are. And they're not being received as great as they think that they are. And everything that they do is not a big deal, but everything that everybody's done around them is a really big deal that should be corrected. Anybody know anybody like that? Is there anybody in here who is like that? You know, I mean, can we be honest? It's probably the person who acts like that is the person next to you, right? I mean, that's the person who generally sees everybody else's problems, but doesn't think their problems are as big a deal. And that was man. And God is like, man, y'all are not getting this. Here's what I'm going to do. Y'all think you're so great. What I'm going to do is I'm going to send some rules. This should be very easy for you. I'm just going to send a couple hundred rules for you to live by. And just live within those and we're going to be fine. And, of course, they couldn't do it. They couldn't live within the rules. And God was saying, listen, I sent these rules to show you that you cannot act right outside of my spirit. You can't do it. You can't live in a way that pleases me. It's not possible. I sent you my Torah. I sent you my way so you can know who I am, so that you can realize that without me, you can't fulfill your purpose on the earth. But man didn't get it. Man didn't get it. And so God all along had a plan. He had a plan to restore man in his fellowship. Now, here's my little theory on why this is so important to God. I believe that our God is really a vengeful God. I really believe he likes to punish his enemies. I believe that. I just believe that you are not his natural enemy. You were not created to be the enemy of God. You were not created to be punished by God. That's what Satan's role was. Satan is the archetype where he was an angel in heaven, and he rose up in pride, and so the Bible says that he was cast out of heaven to the earth. All right, I'm going to get a little super spiritual on you. Is that okay? Satan came to the earth, and he took over the earth. God said, I'm going to send you to outer darkness onto the earth. And then God just decided to follow him to the earth. And he's like, you have the whole planet except for this area right here, which you can't get into. Satan's like, what? He says, now I'm going to create a person in this little area that you can't get into. And me and him are going to walk around in your neighborhood and let you know I'm coming in. You know, this is like the original turf war. You know what I'm saying? Like, I can see Satan is tagging walls. God is scratching it out. He's writing Satan. He's writing God's scratching out, putting killer, you know. He's taking neighborhoods back. And then, you know, Satan kind of infiltrated. And he got inside the people. And where God's original plan was to take over this earth with his goodness, man surrendered that plan over to the enemy. And God's like, what do I do now? Because the Bible says that he ate from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil when he should have only eaten from the tree of life. And so when he ate from that tree, all of a sudden, the curse came into man. Are you all with me here? Are you following this story? Is this story good? Okay, so now this disobedience was in man's DNA. And so all his kids, it got visited on his kids. And so God said, I got a plan. Here's what I'll do. I will go down there, and I will set things straight myself. We need a perfect sacrifice for this sin. I will send my son to be that sacrifice. And now, when we sacrifice my son, whoever believes in him, I will adopt him into the family. And not only am I going to take over the earth that I sent Satan to occupy, I'm going to take back the people that he rightfully should own because of their sin. See, God's whole plan is just to punk the devil left and right, just to all the time show the devil that he's not God, and to show the devil what he could have had he followed God, but now he'll never achieve because he decided to rebel. And so God, being God, came to the earth through his son Jesus. He never sinned, not once. Now, sin, the enemy enters our lives through our sin. Sin is where you disobey God, where you do things that Jesus wouldn't do. When you do things that violate love, that is sin. And so Jesus came and he just never once sinned. Not once. He never did any sin at all. He never agreed with the plan of the enemy his entire life. And so they thought they were going to trap him. And they said, if we can just kill him, we'll stop this revolution on the earth. And so some people lied about him. They set him up. And they had him murdered on a cross. That's basically the story. They had him murdered on a cross, and the devil thought, I won. I finally got it. I won. I've killed him. The revolution is over. Little did he know that it was required to have a sacrifice for sin. Here's what's so funny about God. God used the enemy to cause the sacrifice for sin that defeated the enemy. He's like, I'm going to rob your house, and I'm going to use your key to get in the front door. So the enemies of God sacrificed Jesus, not realizing that they've sealed their own fate at the sacrifice. And so now, because Jesus was murdered, there was a sacrifice for sin. As a matter of fact, when that happened, the Bible says that there was an earthquake. The whole earth began to shake because the first time a sinless man lived and died. And it's like the earth didn't even know how to act after that happened. I don't know what to do about this. I'm freaking out over here. The curse has been broken. I don't know what to do. The Bible tells us in Ephesians chapter 2, he says, starting in verse 1, it says, "You were dead in your trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, like the rest of mankind. But God," say "but God." But God, man, how many of you like a but God moment? I should have been in prison, but God. Should have never had a good life, but God. Should not have had a happy family, but God. Should not have a spiritual family, but God. Amen. But God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love which he loved us, even when we were dead in our sins, made us alive together with Christ." That should get you happy right there. That should get you happy right there. So here's how God is so amazing. Can I just tell you how amazing he is? He works on so many layers and so many levels, and he's working on angles. I mean, you think like the people who are forming strategies on Survivor are crafty. He is working alliances that you can't even see right now, and he's working things on levels that you don't even know about. There's a promise in the Bible that says, a father of the fatherless, God puts the solitary in families. And so at the death of Jesus Christ, he gave us a way to enter in a new hope. To actually, the Bible tells us, we're a whole new people group. Not just a nation, not just a natural people group, but a whole new spiritual group. The Bible says when we enter into faith in Jesus Christ, we enter into a new family. Literally, you have more in common with the people who've received Christ as Savior than you do the ones that you grew up with. Now, it's not God's plan that you leave the people that you grew up with and who brought you into the world and fathered and mothered you. That's not it at all. But he increases family. That's his whole desire. And he says here in this scripture, he says in verse 4, he says, "God, being rich in mercy because of the great love which he loved us, even when we were dead in our sins, made us alive," look at that next word, "together." He made us alive together with Christ. You see, when you enter into relationship with Jesus Christ, it's not, you know, it's just me and the Lord and my churches. I just believe that in me and the Bible, it's all I need is me and God, and all I need is this thing right here. That's all. But that's not the gospel, because it's so short of the promise of God for your life. You see, there's things that you'll never work out alone. I find it really hard to not be lonely when I'm alone. I feel it's really hard to have a good conversation when there's no one else in the room. Now, the conversation I feel is a little more intelligent, you know, when I'm, you know, but it, just kidding. But God, he already had it planned out. He's like, I know the world can be a lonely, hurtful, sad place where people don't understand you, and where you can struggle to try to fit in, and where you can find it easier just to be isolated and to be alone. Where you can say, I've been hurt, I've been rejected, it's hard for me to trust people. I'm just going to learn how to shut down, close myself off, and just trust me and God. Or me and my Ouija board, or me and online games, or me and whatever you do. And God says, listen, I got a better plan. How about we do this? How about you're acting dumb, and I don't punish you for it. I save you, and I put you in a family of people who are going to begin to love you. You had me at saved. You had me at no going to hell. You had me right there. But it doesn't stop there? You tell me there's more than just not going to hell and being redeemed? There's more than that? There's more than salvation. There's family also. There's adopted in and my gifts being redeemed. What? There's what? There's people who love me and that will walk with me through the hard times. What? What you put me? What? I'm not alone any longer. What? He's like, no. The gifts keep coming. They just keep coming. They keep coming, even when you couldn't do it on your own, even when you couldn't even plan it. You see, I'm working in ways that you can't even see, which I find is a pretty good thing. If we continue our verse here in Ephesians, he says, he made us alive together with Christ. By grace you've been saved and raised up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the coming ages he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace and kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. By grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God. He goes on to say, verse 10, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God has prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. And here's what I want to talk about today very briefly, this last verse. You see, there's a popular teaching that says, I'm saved just so I can go to heaven, and once I know I'm going to heaven, I'm good. And then I just wait until I die, and then that's the end of the story. But show that last verse again. Leave it up there. There you go. It says, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Good works which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. You see, when you come into a relationship with Jesus Christ, there's stuff that God is going to have you do. What kind of stuff, Pastor? God stuff. There's God stuff that he wants you to do. You see, we don't just get saved so we can just sit on this earth and wait to go to heaven. We get saved so that God now gets to use us and expand the kingdom of heaven. Amen? Hallelujah. 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 Listen, the speaker's messing up. Let's chill out. Don't freak out. We got guests. It's okay. It's a speaker. Y'all can hear me? The enemy's a liar. Let's all relax. He's alive. Amen? If y'all are here for good speakers, you're going to miss it. I'm not here for a speaker demonstration. I'm here to worship Jesus. Okay? We good? Hallelujah. Okay, so it tells us that he created us for good works. There's something God wants you to do on the earth. It's almost like he created you for a purpose. Almost like you weren't a surprise when you showed up. Almost like he's God. And he's got a plan. Almost like you can't fulfill his plan without him. Amen? When Jesus was on the cross, it shows us in Matthew chapter 27, it says, he cried out with a loud voice and yielded up his spirit. And behold, the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. And the earth shook and the rocks were split. The tombs also were opened, and many bodies of the saints who had fallen asleep were raised. And coming out of the tombs after his resurrection, they went into the holy city and appeared to many. Now, follow me on our little story, can you? It says, Jesus was on the cross. He gave up his spirit, right? Now, there used to be a temple, and in this temple, there was this big, thick curtain. And in the curtain, behind this curtain was the place where God's spirit dwelled. And you couldn't go beyond there because people were afraid you would die, right? And so behind this big curtain is where the glory of God dwelt. And when Jesus was on the cross, he yelled real loud. His spirit came out of him, and that big curtain was ripped from the top to the bottom. After that, his spirit was not in that temple. Now, we could go on and on about what this ripped curtain meant, but it was so high that man could not reach it, where the terror began. Only God could begin the terror right there. And what that shows us is God has created a way for us to come into relationship with him that only he could do. That means you can't do it on your own. That means you can't say enough Hail Marys. You can't give enough money. You can't be good enough to have this relationship with God. It has to start with God. It has to start with God saying, you know what? I want to have a relationship with you. It's kind of like God saying, I want to take care of the sin issue, so I know what I'll do. I'll send my son to die on a cross so they can believe in me, so we can have a relationship, so I can take care of the sin, so I can restore what I originally wanted back in the garden. Well, what'd you want back in the garden, God? Just me and thee, and we just walk along until I die, and then I just get to sit in heaven and play a harp the rest of my life? No. We get to bring heaven to earth. See, the veil has been torn. That means there's no separation between us and him. There's no separation between us and him, and that means that the life that he lives, he now lives on the inside of me. You know what kind of life Jesus is living right now? Could you imagine if there was no possible way for you to die, how you would live? Think about it. Think about how you would live if it's not possible for you to die. It's not possible for you to be broke, not possible for you to be sick, not possible for you to be sad, not possible for you to be depressed, not possible for you to feel lonely, not possible for you to be rejected. What kind of life would you live? How would you live? What would you do? What would that do to the dreams you have for your life? Now, what if the guy who's living in that lived on the inside of you? I mean, there's all these movies about people swapping bodies, right? And they're like, ah, if I was in their body, I'd act this way because I don't get any ramifications of it. I just do whatever. Well, Jesus is like, yeah, I'm living in you now, and I'm just doing whatever I want. Now, imagine if the one who can't die lived on the inside of you, what would happen to your life? What could God possibly do through you if he lived inside of you? What do you think he might want to do? Can I give you a little sneak peek what I believe he would say? I read it in a book one time. It's in Mark chapter 16, starting in verse 15. You ready? Jesus died. He came back from the dead, which is what we're celebrating today, because him being dead was good. Him being alive is better. It says in chapter 16, verse 15, he comes back, he's like, listen, I just want y'all to understand this. I'm in charge of everything. I didn't tell you before. You ever see Undercover Boss? You ever see that TV show? I'm really in charge of the donut shop. I'm in charge of all the donuts. Like, oh my God, that's amazing. I'll give you $200 towards college. I'm like, oh, thank you. That's like 800 donuts. You know, then they're just, okay. So here's the guys who walk with Jesus, and he comes back, he's like, yes, I was really undercover. For 33 years, I am the Son of God.
What?
You know this factory you've been working at? I own it. I own the ground underneath it. I own the next door plot. I own the sky. I own everything. I'm in charge of everything. Mr. Jesus? Yes. Receive my card. Put your finger right there. I'm in charge of everything. I own it all. Stop fishing. I already told you to stop that. What are you doing? Read the scriptures. He goes back at the end of the Gospels. Each book, he kind of, it's really funny because he meets with the disciples, and the first thing he does is he rebukes them for not believing he was alive. He's like, I saw you being murdered, and someone told me you weren't, and now you're here rebuking me for not believing that you were. And I don't know what's going on. I'm sorry. I've completely blown this thing, haven't I? Please don't fire me. I need this job. Fishing is not working out. I don't know if you noticed or not. I need this job. Don't worry. I own the fishing too. Put your net on the other side. Watch this. Filled with fish. I am the boss. Right? Can you imagine that? Like, I thought you were dead, and now you're chilling on the beach eating fish. What is happening? I'm in charge of everything. I was fooling you when I told you I was worried about being murdered. I run it all. And so we see he comes back and he talks to them a little bit. And he's like, okay, now that I let you know that I'm in charge of everything, I'm going to go to heaven. But don't worry, I'm going to come back and live inside of you. They're like, of course you are, because nothing makes sense anymore. I guess we're all going to ride unicorns to Jerusalem from now on. I don't know. Whatever. You're in charge of everything. Got you. Yeah, okay. What do you want me to just tell me? You got me. What is it? Just. He's like, yeah, remember when they were murdering us? You're like, yeah, I remember. Yeah, don't worry about that anymore. Okay, they're not going to murder us. Oh, no, they will, but don't worry about that anymore. I want you to just go do some stuff here. Here's what I want you to do. You ready? Yeah. What do you want us to do? You want us to go start a synagogue? You want us to, what do you want us to do? Here's what I want you to do. Write this down. Mark chapter 16, you'll call it. Mark chapter 15. Ready? Go into all the world, the whole world, yes. Go into the world. Like you're in us? No, different. Just go out and preach. Okay, go into the whole world and proclaim the gospel to the whole creation. Okay, there's 11 of us here. We're going to tell the whole world, yes, you. Okay, and what would you like us to tell them? Preach to them. Now listen, whoever believes and is baptized will be saved. Whoever doesn't believe, not so good. Okay, so just make sure everybody believes. And you're going to tell them the good news. And the good news, what was the good news again? I'm not dead. Okay, got it. And here's how you'll know. Here's how they'll know that you are telling the truth. You ready? Okay, what's going to happen? These signs will accompany those who believe. My name, they will cast out demons, speak in tongues. They're going to handle serpents and not die. They drink poison, it won't hurt them. And they'll lay their hands on the sick, and the sick will be made better. Really? Yes. That doesn't make any sense. Welcome to faith. Welcome to faith. And what Jesus says here is, listen, there is a God who is well above everything. And these natural laws aren't in charge of him. You see, spiritual laws are above natural laws. Whereas natural law says, if you get sick and your skin cells die, they're gone. But spiritual law says, when the word of faith touches your body, you're made well. Natural law says, when you sin, you get punished and go to hell. Spiritual law says, if Jesus says you're forgiven, you're forgiven. Natural law says, the better person you are, the better God is going to treat you. Spiritual law says, when God says, I forgive, it's finished. People say, I don't think it's right that this guy can be a murderer his whole life and ask God to forgive him, then he goes to heaven. I'm like, well, it doesn't really matter what you believe. Create your heaven, you can set up the rules. Because his forgiveness doesn't look like our forgiveness. Let's get back to our verse in Hebrews, and then I'm going to shut it down. You ready? He says, we have this as a sure and steadfast anchor of the soul, a hope that enters into the inner place behind the curtain, where Jesus has gone as a forerunner on our behalf, having become a high priest forever by the order of Melchizedek. Here's what happens. When you come to faith in Jesus Christ, you get to have your hope not based on your circumstances. The Bible says that your hope now is anchored in who Jesus is and where he is. My hope is not in my abilities. My hope is not on whether you like me or not. My hope is not based upon what the stock market is doing or what the economy is doing or who's in the White House or what my basketball team is doing, blowing a very good run of not being defeated to a team they should have whooped. My hope is not based on that. And I'm not hurt, and I'm not offended, and I'm walking in forgiveness because I'm not bitter that they blew a game they should have won. I'm not at all hurt by that. I walk in forgiveness and love because I'm spiritual. But the Bible tells us, and I can testify to this fact, that when you come into relationship with Jesus Christ and his spirit moves in you, there is this hope link, right? There's this link in your heart that is no longer based on what's happening to your body. It's no longer based on what's happening in this realm. It's based on what Jesus is experiencing in heaven. He says that is an anchor for our soul. When you're in a boat, you want to anchor to something sturdy. You don't want to be dragged along with your anchor dragging in the sand. You want it to be on a rock that won't be moved. And he says, when you get right with God, your hope center gets anchored in Jesus Christ, who is not in the veil behind the temple veil. He's in heaven where there is no sin and there is no sickness and there is no depression and there is no hurt. My hope is based right there where the God who never will die is living. And I have direct access to that. That is the hope. And let me fast forward to the end of the story and what God is trying to build on the earth. Are you ready? It's all the way at the end of the book. You ready? Revelation chapter 21 says this. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw a holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. Here's the good part. You ready? You ready? Here's where we're going. You ready? And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people, and God himself will be with them as their God. Now, people want to put that off in the millennium. I believe it's for now. I believe that's a promise for right now. I believe that when your hope is anchored in who Christ Jesus is, you have access to everything he is. At Revival Life Church, we want to be known as a people where the dwelling place of God is with man. I want to be a person where the dwelling place of God is with me. I don't want to be a churchgoer. I want to be a God dweller. I want to be a place where hope is alive, and I have so much hope that I have plenty to give out to other people. I want people to come to me with problems and say, hey, I got hope for your situation. Just come be with me. You think it's going to collapse? I got faith for your situation. Come to me. Because my hope is anchored in who Christ Jesus is and where he lives right now. I believe that's God's plan for you today. Let's stand. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, we just love you today. You're such a very good God. Can you thank God today for saving you, for dying on a cross for your sins? Can you just lift up your heart to him, and can you just give a hand clap to God today and just begin to thank him for what he has done on the cross? Now, we're about to receive Holy Communion, so you don't want to go anywhere. But in a crowd this size, chances are there's at least a couple people who aren't walking with God right now, who are separated from God by their sin. And we know that Jesus is taking care of that. You just got to receive it. I want to invite you to come back next week for our barbecue because it's going to be good. But right now, I want to give you an opportunity to get right with God. And here's how I'm going to do it. You're going to do it right where you're at. We're going to do it right where you're at. And I'm going to pray a prayer. And if you mean it in your heart today, I want to have my hope anchored in Christ Jesus and who he is. I want power to change my life. I want God to come in and change who I am. If that's you today, here's what I want you to do. You're going to say a prayer with us. We're all going to say it together. We're all saying the prayer together. But what I want you to do is, you got a connection card. I want you to fill it out. And there's a little box on there that says, today I receive Christ. We got some free stuff we want to give you to help you in your walk with God. We'll pray with you at the end of service if you'd like. But every head bowed, if you would, please. Every eye closed. It's between me and you right now. Mikey can play with his eyes closed. He's good like that. Or at least looking down. Nobody looking around. If you just reverence this moment right now. I want to pray for you, and I want to give you an opportunity to respond to what God is doing. Father, we do love you. We love you because you first loved us, and you're just so amazing. You're so much better than I deserve. Wow. Holy Ghost, right now, that you would draw people into your kingdom. You would reveal Jesus right now. And that the fire of the Holy Ghost would cleanse hearts right now, Jesus. Real quick before we have communion, just everybody, if you would keep your head bowed and your eyes closed. If you're saying today, I'm ready to get right with God. I'm not going to single you out. Just put your hand up and down real quick. I want to know who I'm praying with real quick all over the room. Yep, I see you. Who else? Yep, I see you. You can put your hand down. Who else? Who else? Yep, I see you. Who else? Up and down real quick. I just want to pray for you. I want to know who I'm praying with today. I see you on the right. Who else? Hallelujah. 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 Now, for those of you who would say, you know what, I want to be strengthened in my walk today. I found it very hard to follow God because the life has been hard. And my hope has not been anchored in Christ. My hope is, that line has been kind of frayed. It's been kind of hard to believe. I believe God wants to restore hope today. I believe he wants to restore hope today. If that's you, just put your hand up and down for me, if you would, please. All over the room. Yeah, all over the room. Up and down. You can put your hand down. Yeah. I want to pray for you. Yeah. Anybody else wants to be included in this prayer? Amen. Amen. Look at me. Let's pray together. Father, we did things that were wrong. I knew they were wrong. I did it anyways. Man, I blew it. Please forgive me. Today, I want my soul anchored in you. I want my hope anchored in you. I want my salvation anchored in you. Wash me clean of my sins. Make Jesus my Savior. I believe he died for me. I believe he rose from the dead for me. I believe he's in heaven right now, rejoicing at my salvation. Wash me clean.